Yeah,
we are ready.
Regular meeting, Finance Committee, March 3rd, 2020. Item one, call to order. I guess we just did that. Item two, comments for the public. Anybody yet? Item three, discuss reconnect fee pursuant to SB 998.
So SB 998 requires water system to offer a discounted hookup fee for when you disconnect somebody's water. We charge $75 to hook up people's water. Some agencies charge up to $150, $250. That's what I've heard. I've never had it done, so I don't know what Placer charges.
Would you try that for us, please, and then let us know?
No,
just a thought.
My garden will die.
Oh,
I can't afford to lose my garden this early in the season. Yeah.
Sorry.
So our intent is to add something to the three-day tags that says if you are at or below 200% of the poverty level, you are eligible for a discounted hookup fee. And we'll run that by the attorney when we do it. There's all sorts of different ways to approach it. But basically, if you can prove you're 200% or less of the poverty level, you know, you can get $25 off and get your water rehooked up. So that's kind of, it's really not, you know, lately we went another month without any lock-offs.
Right.
So the lock-offs we have are few and far between now.
This might be the easiest way to do it. Because we're just dealing with the individuals.
Just add it to the three-day tag, and when we call them up, we can say, hey, by the way, there's an opportunity, but you have to prove it. So I don't know what we have to get to prove it. It's probably a tax return or two, something like that.
And then I would just, we just do our due diligence, get that info, or where we send them to go prove it. Mm-hmm. Because then the staff up front, so when they come to the counter, we already know where we're going with them and what to say, where to do, if we hand them something or what have you, so that there isn't any confusion with staff.
So you want us to put something in pipeline?
Oh, I was going to. Well, you put in pipeline. You also, I think in the end, when you got a procedure or whatever you work out, put it on the website.
Yeah.
Just direct them there.
Yeah, and because, again, it's going to be personal, embarrassing, you know, whatever that. So you want it as low-key and, hey, just go to this, make it happen, and you know, let us know what we can do.
And Dick provided us with a couple samples on what we can do. So we'll create a little form.
Perfect.
We'll add it to the three-day tags. We'll put it on the website. We'll put a little note in pipeline.
So it's 200%. What was the number?
Of the poverty level.
God, what is that? Like nothing.
It's probably, what is the poverty level? Around 32,000, something like that?
I think it's 16,000 something.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So 32,000 would be 200%.
So, wow.
Above 16.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, so some of the folks are on you know, limited income or fixed income, and,
and that doesn't keep pace. Of data when we were looking at this before was, believe it or not, about 20%.
Oh, you mean of, yeah, but those are people that are drawn out of tax sheltered investments. $2 million in assets and 30,000 in income.
So, Tom, a question I have on the study that's looking at our fee structure, we'll be able to revisit this to say either it's appropriate or it's not on the $75 rehookup costs, correct?
I'm not sure if this is all part of the, I'm sorry to bother you, Cindy, but do you think that fees, our fee schedule for hooking up the water services is part of our cost allocation plan that we're doing? I don't recall it being.
I don't think so.
No, because they're just allocating costs related to labor.
Right.
They're not talking about revenue.
That's a one-time unique type fee that we charge, so that shouldn't be part of it, overall cost allocation.
You know, the opposite end would be, okay, should we analyze how much it really costs us?
That's where I was
to
going.
Go lock somebody's water
right.
off.
But,
that was
but
the
we're
next
at,
question, right.
Right. But if we're truly done our due diligence, which appears you have, and we're down to the one or two, then it's fine. You know, when we're at double digits, now I've got some concerns from that standpoint. But if we're down to the one or two and we can make it work, then I'm fine, but at the end of the day, we come to find out we're 50% below what it's truly costing us. I don't know if it's worth
it.
Do
a fee, you know, we put it in, we cherry pick people, you know, when you do the budget. We did this in previous job.
Right.
And you find some of the ones that are more outstanding.
Right.
More consistent, like
right.
if there's a lot, and then it's like we need more money for this. We did right. that with, you know,
oh,
false
understand.
Alarm.
No, I get that. I get that. Right. But again, tickets. We're down to less than, say, 3 or 4 a month, then it's,
yeah,
it's a non-issue.
We've blocked off 2 okay. in the last 3 months.
Perfect.
So.
Okay. Item 4, security fee rate structure.
So I listened to the board meeting again, and this is really a discussion. I brought what I think is materials that you can look at that really talks about the difference in what people are paying. So if you want, I'll pass this around and I'll walk through it.
Sure.
And sorry, I think I printed 8 or 10 of them.
I can print more.
So, and there's a bigger spreadsheet that is harder to read, but basically what you see here is these are the rates, and if you're considered, and here's where the crux is, starting at the top, inside the gates, metered and unmetered. So an unmetered lot would be a lot where that's just a
vacant
lot.
Right.
And then you can see the current rates are right down the middle, $29.73. And all these rates are 2% more in 1920 than they were in 1819. And then outside the gate, you see the security fee per lot is $7.17. You go down to the next one, you see highway retail. And highway retail is 26.81% cents per square foot. And then the next one down is 2.89 cents per square foot, and all of them are a lot less per square foot than highway retail. And their highway retail is basically 10 times more than some, 5 times more than others. And then there's the rate for undeveloped property per acre inside the gate, $25.14, outside the gate, $3.74. So that's your point of reference. Now, what falls under commercial highway retail? I got another list, and let me see. So basically, it's the country store and the Burger King that fall under highway retail.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it's just those? That's it. That
and
one building. Right?
And so this is a published document. So if you want, I'll hand it out. But it's harder to read, and it's got a lot more detail.
Well, yeah, pass it out.
And what you see there, and I can walk you through the sheet when people who want to have it are ready.
It's too easy.
Now, this is built into our utility billing system. So if you look at, it's row 19 down on the far left. And you see Country Star, Burger King. So we classify that as SC1. So if you're SC1, you're paying 26.81 cents per square foot for security. And then you can see the square footage is up, you know, they say 5,500 square feet for that piece of property. And then you go to the equestrian center and you can say, oh, you need to reevaluate what square footage they have to make sure they're paying the right amount. And this is all stuff that we would like to have time to do, and clearly we're probably going to end up doing it as part of this final budget cycle, because we'll have time in April to do stuff like this.
Well, you're looking at, I mean, if you're looking just at the numbers themselves, I guess what you're the dialogue here is, well, why is, you know, somebody like Country Store paying the same thing as the equestrian center? You look at monthly rates, aren't they $14.44 versus $14.74? Is, am I reading the right number?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get up to speed with where you're at.
I'm at the top.
Well, yeah, the equestrian center is paying they're paying about a half cent a square foot. They have 321,000 square feet, so that equates to $1,400 monthly. That's about what they get charged every month. And the Burger King Country Store pay the same amount. But they have 5,500 square feet versus 321,000.
Well, I know. And I have no idea whether Jeff in relevance to what they pay, are we, is our response and our involvement at the Equestrian Center equivalent to what it is at the Burger King and the gas station?
Go ahead and you can answer that question.
Equestrian Center, less.
Less?
Yeah.
But I mean,
we patrol less it, to the less calls to the, for service as far as them having a problem and calling us is less, as opposed to like the country store. We were there three times last night.
Oh, okay.
On the same guy.
So that's, I'm just trying to, when I'm just looking at the raw number, I wasn't playing with a rate or anything, but I'm just trying to, in my head, understand why some of these are the same and why some are exorbitantly more money.
So the way to understand that is to look at the EPS study that was done in 1998 to establish the basis for the measure JMK.
That's
where that was set. So you're trying to understand that. I'm trying to lead you to where that was established and why. Or at least where it was established. So we have put that study online under security publications now. The EPS study from 1998 wasn't there until recently. And in there, they described the methodology. And what I understand at the time, I think it was Chief Noller was there in 98. Is that
probably? Yeah.
So I think it was Chief Noller who put together about a year's worth of data on patrol activity, essentially. And from that year's worth of data was the basis for how they assigned various levels of charges to different entities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It probably at the time, you know, was perhaps the best available data to set a fee. Is it optimal? You know, should we have parsed it as much as you see here, or just assigned a general commercial rate regardless, you know, across, because commercial uses can change.
Mm-hmm.
So if the country store, the gas station went out of business, they shut down the Burger King and changed that to an office space, because you can do that, should they be paying the same rate even though they're commercial and they're on the highway right there?
Right. The other part of this, the other part of this, going back to 98, I mean, who was here and the way we live and the demographics and everything else since 98 to 2020, it's not totally the same place.
So
and so when you look at, I don't know, I know why Mike's here.
Well, and it's something.
Read this.
It's something that, and what I wish were in the study that I didn't really see in the study was more detail as to exactly. We do know there's a reasonable basis that says that a year's worth of data at that time is was the basis for how these fees were set. What would have been nice is to know more detail within each entity, like the country club. So the country club pays based on a certain square footage. How is patrol of the greens areas and the physical structures of the country club accounted for within the rates that they pay? And that level of detail is not in that study. Mm-hmm.
If you were to look at an optimum,
it's more just a methodology was laid.
Yeah, if you were to look at an optimum way to do this, and I don't know what the optimum way is, but would you have like a fixed and a variable that went into this formula? Like if you have all these folks here that are commercial, no matter who they are, what they do, there is a fixed fee, I think, involved in just the fact that we have the force to begin with, mm-hmm. and they got cars and they got guys and they got women and gates and all this other stuff that we maintain across the board. But then there's maybe a hell of a lot more response for the country store than there is for the country club. Or so maybe it's a two-tiered approach. I don't know. But you know, just looking at some of these, I mean, it does look like it's something we probably need to really revisit. I mean, there's no, in my mind anyway.
I think the one that,
especially if we haven't done it since
the one that sticks out the most is the highway commercial and designating that, because we're going to have a struggle as the Starbucks comes in or whatever, just slightly off the highway.
Right.
Is that freeway commercial or not? Does it have a drive through? Just like, you know, why is the Burger King freeway highway commercial? But
well, yeah, and
we're charged for the rate.
But we're always heading to the gas station and not necessarily the Burger King, you know.
Yeah,
so
and you're going to be you're
part of that question.
By the very nature of what is now there, you're going to have people virtually leaving that highway for the same reason they would leave the highway to go to the current gas station. They're, you know, just, you don't have to be from Murrieta to need a, you know, bag of tomatoes on the way home or something. You're going to pull off the road and go in there. Same thing, the bigger gas station, more active gas station, I would assume at some point, will be the one that's deeper into the commercial area.
Yes, from
off the highway.
From an urban planning standpoint, quick marts or quickie marts or whatever you want to call them, 7-Elevens, are always more of an attractive nuisance than anything else. Mm-hmm. And so they can typically be considered as a separate entity and cost basis.
And you know, again, I don't know if it'll work out this way, but in my head I see, you know, the months of July and August, a giant magnet down there for every 16-year-old in Rancho Murrieta. Okay, so, you know, what does that mean in terms of the amount of response or patrol that's required by him inside that area? So going forward, I think you know, we got to look at this.
Correct, and this is what I'm, so when you look at the report, ideally what would have been said at the time is the highway commercial is set for those that have, such as a Quick Mart, that is more of an attractive nuisance to more calls. And mm-hmm. that convenience store, there you go. There's the appropriate term. And we have another one going into the community right now. Those two absolutely would be appropriate for highway commercial rate, you know, at least some accelerated fee. Whether the Burger King is any different than the Starbucks is a whole other question. They're probably very similar and should be considered likewise. And then you have office commercial, another really low-key commercial. But generally, what I guess what I'm getting at is, as a methodology of fees, is you don't want to parse it so finitely that for each entity where you don't have flexibility in the fee. It's better to aggregate things, have a general commercial, have a highway commercial, industrial, and then residential for the different categories we have, and then some of the open space and that sort of thing. And you leave it at that. I think we've parsed it too finely mm-hmm. already.
And I mean, from the club standpoint, I mean, they're inside the gate. I mean, to start with, I mean, you know, I don't, you know, other than, again, talking about a fixed fee, you know, when you actually compare the response that's required up there, other than, you know, the vandalism instances that we have, I mean, I don't know.
No, we should.
So high.
We should, you know, with the new patrol software and the geo.
It'll be a little bit higher because it's behind the gate rate. There's an impact to the gate of people from outside the community that come into play, so that's going to be factored into a little bit higher rate. Aside from that, that's all I was going to add to that, is it's behind the gate, so there is an impact to the gate.
So as we have, you know, the patrol software was implemented on the first of the year, and we, you know, we'd need at least a year's worth of data to look at where hot spots are and all that. And you always have to take a caveat to that, because there might have been a spike in something in a given year that's unusual, and you have mm-hmm. to determine whether or not that's an outlier or not. So it's something that we do need to take a look at. But my recommendation is always to simplify. And that's the way almost every government fee is. Some win a little bit, some lose a little bit. You know, some pay a little bit more maybe than the level of service, but some less. But from an administrative flexibility standpoint, it makes a lot more sense to have fewer fees than more. It becomes unworkable after a while. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I love that.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
So when I read the mythology and that kind of stuff, was 47% patrol time, 53% gate operation time. As you and I both know, in 98 when this was done, very few homes, very few people lived inside the community. So the gate access, everybody that owned the lot would come in for 2-3 days. And at that time, the pension trust fund, everybody was marketing this place in an off-the-hook type of way. Those things have changed drastically, okay? So when I look at the 47% patrol time, and I understand that you respond to different things, I think it doesn't match up with the service is doing now. I think the service is definitely going to, and that's why the FCC, that's when we negotiated the terms, like we put the security thing, is we all anticipated the commercial stuff being a lot more time-consuming when it comes to patrol. When Mark, we had a president's meeting, when Mark says we only go down Alameda Drive, we'll respond to after the fact. When you look at our patrol time, we're getting less patrol time than the village does. They also have a commercial building that's not, like our man has a commercial building. There's different, that kind of stuff there. So I think the process of how you came up with the fees doesn't hold water today. Mm-hmm. And the Equestrian Center has 40 events a year,
right,
800 plus residents and that kind of stuff there. The potential for patrol time is going to increase for these big or large events. We have about 4 events a year that attract a lot of people inside the gates. And we augment that security by hiring sheriffs and that kind of stuff for the 4 additional events inside the gate that doesn't require the patrol, you know, that kind of stuff there. So I think I hear about government, but I think government, I think we have this thing not active right now based on the 218 tax or that kind of stuff there. So when you look at, if it comes back up for a vote, which I think comes back 20 years, every 20 years, it's got to be renewed. How long is it?
I'm not familiar with that.
I didn't
see a sunset in it at all.
I don't remember.
Well, let me rephrase it then.
Be good if there was.
You qualify at the ballot,
frankly,
to everybody look at it again. There's a number to bring anything back up to the tax, and you guys are going to have a hard time getting some of the businesses to support. The residential is easy. We all like the service that we get. We like it being safe and that kind of stuff there. But I think the commercial stuff, I think you guys have the ability to adjust the commercial based on the 47% of the patrol time that you guys are spending.
Yeah, understood. Stuff there. And my larger point on all this is, what it is today, when we're setting a fee going forward, you want to look at what an average would be and what the realm of possibilities are for a particular use. So if one entity is having very few events today, that doesn't mean they're not going to next year. And same with the Equestrian Center Golf Club. If the golf club started to have events all the time, so the fee should be set somewhere where there's a reasonable level of activity that could occur. Maybe not exactly 1 year's worth of data, but what's the average, basically, or what, you know?
So you're recommending a flat rate for everybody.
I think that's a better than a. I think it'd be tough to have a variable.
As many variables as we have here.
So
I don't understand. I look at the different rates you charge. It doesn't make. I can't find the science to it.
And that's what we want to do, is establish a science to it, so nobody's unclear as to the methodology, and then you simplify the structure. And so it's just really straightforward as to how those rates are applied. And if there's something that's really excessive and a big change, then there's the opening for maybe revisiting the fees at that point on how they're assessed.
But if you had, I don't know, I'll pick a number, 4 subgroups, the 4 buckets that you want to drop everybody into, the club is almost a bucket by itself, I would think. They're not feasting or foul to any of this here. They're not commercial. They're inside the gate. I mean, they're not inside the shopping center or on the highway. They're not a storage facility down by the airport. I mean, you know, so
they're kind of a hybrid of commercial, yeah, and open space, basically, is the best way to describe it. And so it's something that we could look at.
But in all of it, members are all inside the gates. There's only about 1% of the people. Mm-hmm. I think there's about 7 over at the village. I think there's 2 in the villas that belong, you know, that belong to the country club. I think there's about 6 or 7 that live in Folsom. That's pretty much the rest are already live inside the community and, you know, that kind of stuff there. And our outside tournaments has dropped probably 70% of what it was in 98. You know, I've also had conversations with Dick Brandt. He's looking for documents of how the tax originally. He made a comment that you can't enforce other than HOA. You know, he has a different version of that. He's going to show it. I think he's going up here at the security tax to give his opinion. At that time, he was the lawyer for the district and also the president of the club when all this stuff started. So he's looking for all his documents that produced all this stuff too. But. Yeah, just different. Different opinion about
if there's a a discussion on the methodology that fed into what we have in the EPS report, that'd be very helpful to see that.
He thinks there is.
Yeah, that'd be. We're looking for whatever we can to help understand better how.
From experience, if there was a document, he's got it.
Yeah.
He's got it. Trust me. Well, I've been there.
We also have to decide how we're going to classify the Raleighs and all those other ones, because starting in April, they go live, and we have to start billing.
Should be highway commercial
for their security, and they're going to argue that it's other retail commercial instead of highway retail.
But you have a main entrance that pulls price. Right in off the highway, and people are going to, oh, I need to go in here and get a.
I don't think they have the building.
No, it's leased.
It's leased. So, you know, I don't think that's really his concern. I don't think, you know, that big company is going to give you any pushback.
Mm-hmm. You know. They've, and I've done enough shopping center stuff where they're the anchor tenant, and that's already in, whatever's going to happen is already in their lease, trust me. They there's nothing left out. But it technically is a pass on a double net. It's a pass through back to them.
But then the question is, what do we charge the current grocery right now?
Yeah.
And is that really that different of a use?
There are other retail.
Clientele. So that's my point, that we have to be very careful, because we've already been charging one entity for performing that same function.
So if and when we get into this and we come up with what we think is a categorization that we want to propose, do we, like rate setting, do we have a public hearing? Do we have a public meeting? Do we call all the commercial people in? What do we do?
I have to look into that, to be honest. I think we have to have some legal advice as to what flexibility do we have to, if any, outside of the 218 process, to adjust.
Yeah, okay. Because if we were to adjust, I wouldn't.
So, in other words, if we kept the pot, the bucket was the same size of funds, of revenues, and we just changed how we distributed that or charged for that bucket, needed bucket, but it was still within the 218 approval level, hopefully we have that flexibility. If so, then that's great. We don't have to go out to vote. We just provide a new justification and distribution of fees that get us to the same point we are today, basically.
But my point, too, was that I wouldn't want to do any of this without public input. You know, I really, whatever we do come up with at that point, we need some kind of a procedure going forward as to public meetings or public input or however you want to figure it out. I mean, if you find out that you're so locked in to the existing language, I mean, you may be getting closer and closer to putting the whole thing back out.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to live through this as all of that develops under this current structure. And if you can't change it, then there has to start to be some serious conversations about what's the next step, what do we do?
Yeah.
So.
To follow what John was saying, so if I look at the airport, it's categorized as an airport, but in reality, if you look at how much they've added to their mini storage, and then you go, okay, I see what we're charging for mini storage, but that's different than what the airport's actually doing today.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think as we move forward with this, we've got to come up with some definitions ourselves and what they mean. What does highway mean? So is it an access office? You know, it's just, you can agree or disagree with us, but these are definitions. This is what the meanings are, and we've kind of started to do that. So highway retail, what that means is you have an access off of Highway 16.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on to the next one. So again, you could have something like the country club, where it's just the country club, but in reality, like you said, it's that hybrid, just like the airport is.
It's commercial, it's mini storage,
right.
the airport itself.
It's more classified commercial because of the storage, and there's small businesses that operate out of his new hangars that he built.
Right, and so that might be that process as we move through this. Maybe it's a every 2 year review of who the customers are, and does your business fit into our definition? Or did your business change its definition from that standpoint? But that's just kind of my first glance at it. A couple of those things jump out and go, now I don't know what it means economically, but yeah. We can't be driven at the end of the day purely on economics to get us to this point. But that is going to be a huge factor. It's going to impact. Right.
Other than the 2%, the whole thing is a back end process because you can't go anywhere.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. We're just backing into an existing number.
Correct.
We're just changing the deck chairs.
Exactly.
Basically.
Right. Yeah. And that might
Titanic.
Be
Titanic.
Right.
This worksheet, by the way, was established in 2004.
Right.
So this stuff is, I don't know if I could find out, but when's the last time they adjusted square footage?
Right.
You know, I'm compelled that we need to go to the airport and do an analysis of how many square foot do they really have.
And, right. Yeah. Well, and again, I think moving forward, this might be that every 2 years, mm-hmm. Or pick a number. I don't really, but with that being said, to work our way through this process, and then we can get it calendarized. You know, every 2 years we move forward type of thing. But that's that part of just trying to figure this out. I agree, Mark. Is some of this either incident-driven or event-driven? Is some of it going to be occupancy-driven? And that's exactly what you said. You look at those hangars. Those hangars have a lot of combustible Christians now in them doing stuff. They're just not storage hangers, so that occupancy kind of changes mm-hmm. from that standpoint. So,
and I think we'd get a lot of this information from the county tax rolls because yeah. they send their assessors out to analyze these properties pretty regularly.
Square footage, yeah.
Do you, like, for example, is there separation? Is there separation that we could expand or refine on tax versus fees? In other words, when I had my stores in Davis, if the frickin' burglar alarm went off, man, that was going to cost me like $85,
right. mm-hmm.
like instantly.
Right.
And then if it really was a broken door, it cost me more
right.
because there was a fee. So, you know,
false alarms.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, false alarms would be a no-brainer. If you got a false alarm going off, he should be getting paid for going over there.
We have a fee, but I've never seen a bill go off for a false alarm.
We really don't. You're allowed like what? One? I think one false alarm free.
Well, I think we can control that. It could be 0 to 20.
Yeah, that's what currently is an ordinance.
Right.
But if there are specific instances that are unique to, I don't know, even with the country store where you have a response for whatever, something going on in the parking lot or whatever, I don't know how you categorize all those or make a list, but exclusive of the tax, there's almost like a nuisance fee that you get charged if. And the same thing I've always asked the question with the supermarket, the new supermarket, would he, if they got some 14-year-old over there, they're holding in the closet for shoplifting, does he go over there at all? I'm just theoretically, or is that a sheriff coming 100 miles? I mean, if he goes over there for that kind of thing, then that's a whole different ballgame. And the same thing with if John or his appointee is running the common area maintenance and everything else that's going on, if there's an incident in the parking lot, mm-hmm. you know, somebody rams the back of somebody's Honda with a shopping cart, does he go over there? And I nobody's ever answered those questions for me. And John has systematically through the process for years talked at times about cameras and about this and about that and response, and we're part of the district and we get security, blah blah blah, and he does, I'm not mm-hmm. debating that, but what is that, as this thing really gets going in April and May, what does that really mean? I don't know.
And that's where the struggle is, because you look at where the Raley's is going in and you look at the existing mall commercial that's there. What denotes one being a certain use versus another, a higher intensity of, yes, the Raley's is right off the highway, but from a measure of distance, the backyard barbecue is pretty close to the highway.
Right.
You know, it has a bar.
And that's a good
thing. So, well, but just, you have to look at a whole bunch of variables. My point is a whole bunch of variables.
Yeah.
And, the, you know, other uses like the, we talked about the hotel bar. That was a big concern as far as potential draws of CSD staff. Speak to the number of calls we've had there over time.
I think I can only, off the top of my head, since it's been open too, related to the bar.
So, you know, what was anticipated to be a lot of impact has turned out to be very little impact. So if we're setting fees on things, it's really good to use, you know, try to use real data for it and adjust, like you say, you know, look at an adjustment period from time to time.
Can you use the term multiple use?
That's tough. That's so variable.
I think at the end of the day, it's incumbent upon us to figure out what does this mean, mm-hmm. And I think we can define that, and or Mr. Shanahan can define that for us to put it better. I just don't like his hourly wage, but I think once we get that defined, mm-hmm. then that now tells us who falls into what category. What does it truly look like from once we define this, where these then fall into? Yeah. And then there'll be a couple of subsets from that standpoint.
If you're going to pick like five, whatever your number is, five categories, you want to then, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you want to have A, B, C, D, E,
correct.
And F in each category.
And it's not so large that we can't name them by name. You know what I mean? And so, but I think we need to define what is highway access. What does that mean? And if it's time distance shielding, is it exits? You know, that's incumbent upon us as a district to define. Then it's going to fall back if you've got the multi usage, and I'll pick on the airport, for example, then what's that prorated out? And then we can figure that percentage very quickly, either through using the county. And again, we can define all that out. Difficulty that's going to then come is, okay, what does that truly mean? And then if we're looking at patrol time versus gate time, if they're outside the gate, now it's just patrol time, and then truly what are those costs? And my gut level feeling, it is going to be an impact to the budget.
Well, it can't go down. I mean, there'll be winners and losers in this.
I understand, but there, yeah, but it's going to be an impact to the.
But we may find that there's been a lot more square footage added over the years in certain places.
Christian Center, that big building they just built the cafe. It's
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Airport.
Yeah.
Right.
So. And you do have to factor in. They got 40 events a year now.
Right.
But how many 98
they
had left there? I don't know.
Well, six, so eight, that's my point, Tom. I've got it event-driven, incident-driven, and then occupancy-driven. And then you define those. Again, we define those. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Incidents, it's an actual impact to the resources of the district. Event-driven is the possibilities / probabilities, and then going back to what we just updated on the district policy, are we notified of these events? Mm-hmm. And then do we want to take some action, yes or no? And then purely it's occupancy driven, and then what does that mean? And whether we use the county data, but we can determine all that, and then we have something to go back and say, okay, I'll click on the country club. Here's what we're defining you as.
Yeah.
Now we can agree to disagree, but that kind of gets us a little bit closer to where we're at.
The equestrian center is a really good example. If you look at the square footage, if those arenas are being counted under square footage,
right?
Most of the time, there's at most one horse out on the arena by itself with the rider. You know, is that the same as a commercial square footage? No, not really.
Right.
So yeah, there's a lot of analytics that have to come into this.
Well, one thing you get with the shopping center, at least my experience with all the ones that I was in, is you're not going to break, you're going to bum a shopping center. You're not going to break out Raley's, and you're not going to break out the Circle K or the Starbucks. you guys, in my experience, like Davis and Jackson and all these places, you're going to get, boom, shopping center. And then he will, Sullivan, or his common area maintenance, is what he's going to allocate based on whatever he wants to do, because it's his. But he gets one bill, and it should be broken out through common area maintenance, or collectivized through common area maintenance. It's just another part of, they pay common area maintenance on the parking lot, they pay it on the lights, they pay on electricity for the lights, they pay it on everything, and they just divvy it all up. And understanding what I do about these guys, Israelis will pay nothing, and all the other guys will pay everything.
That's well, it works. There's individual parcels in there that are going to be broken out and mm-hmm. owned individually. So we have to assess those under separate billing. It's really, they are going to be broken out. I mean, those are different.
So is he actually, if the Raley's is leased mm-hmm. from whoever it is, Rancho North or whoever it is, you mean there's actually going to be other entities in there that are not leased, that are going to be owned? I really doubt that.
They're selling those lots. Highway lots are selling them.
Yeah, we're looking. We bill on a per parcel basis, not as.
But highway lots maybe, but not inside the inherent boundaries of the shopping center.
No, but there's like eight lots, right?
Yeah, well those
and
might
be behind it.
Yeah, those will be private entities. They get sold to their private entities, but you're going to have one allocation to the shopping center, I'm assuming. You're not going to be building Starbucks individually.
Well, no, but in the shopping center, there could be office space in there, adjacent, you know, as part of that larger development. There's a lot of other uses that could be in there that may not have the same level of impact. So,
churches. Look at the two churches. The Catholic Church has a big social hall. The other church that they're remodeling has, the whole second floor is going to be all office buildings. So all the purposes, and Tim's got this right, all the purposes has changed. The Equestrian Center has offices and a restaurant now with a bar, you know, which is totally different.
Even older?
Yes.
Is it open?
Yes.
Yeah.
So everybody's purpose.
See, you guys know this.
Is it open daily?
There's a bar.
Well, I'm just checking, make sure. Yeah. I'm just making sure the bar was open.
Bar's open. Yeah, I know that bar's open.
Did you have food there? Did you have food there?
No.
Just check out the bar.
All right.
So when you guys did the security study a couple of years ago that you capitalized or didn't, did they address this at all?
No.
Not all.
No.
About the
that was services versus fees is another entity.
Yeah. So I guess moving forward, my question would be, I would ask staff, with everything we just said, to give us a timeline, what's realistic. Are we looking at, let's calendarize it for October or September and say we can have a whole bunch of stuff done at that point, and it can be sooner, obviously, but with the budget stuff we have going, pick when we think we're going to have some draft stuff, and then we can start moving from there. I think the conversation to have with the board is, here's our thoughts, and have it real brief at the board level. If we miss something, they can grab it. Otherwise, you tell us the timeline to achieve some of these things, and then we've got to come back and go, okay, here's our definitions. Again, we can agree to disagree. I'm okay with that. What's our criteria going to be? Is it better to use the county for the occupancy type thing? And then we just kind of start evolving it from there.
We can meet with the county assessor's office and see how current they are. Because if they send their people out here, they go through it.
Right.
And I've worked with them before.
Right.
They're very accurate.
Well, and my point is, whatever our criteria is, this is our criteria. And here's how we've established it. And again, you can disagree with me on how we got there, but this is the district policy. Mm-hmm. And that'll be
one
where
of the
it's
things,
at.
One of the things, part of that, would you include, at least from my standpoint, what I'd like to understand going forward, too, is once you guys, you guys tell us what you think the process ought to be.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Absolutely.
So, in other words, step one, we're going to get Shanahan to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to categorize like this, and then after we get that information together, what are we going to do? We're going to have a public meeting. We're going to bring in all the commercial people
right.
and tell them what the process is going to be. Allow for them to put their input in,
right.
and then go from there. And before we at And get all of that together before then we make this concrete determination as to somebody ultimately has to make the final decision.
Well, and I think it'll be the board. Yeah, it'll be the board for sure.
But I'd like it to be as everybody at least that's going to be affected have a chance to understand.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. There's some places or some businesses on here, it's not going to impact at all. But at the end of the day, It's truly a short list that we can have everybody show up at a committee meeting and here's the first phase of it, here's what we're doing, and we're moving forward from that standpoint. And then if we have to go back individually, I'll pick on the airport, and have that conversation and walk them through what our process is, then we can in fact do that and then move on.
Well, right. So you want some dates. Definitely the fall before we get anything really large. And probably what I'll do, or with Mark and I will talk about, but we probably need to talk to somebody who's maybe done a rate study on stuff like this. Mm-hmm. It has to have been done somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But first of all, for this current budget we're developing, we can evaluate the square footage. And if somebody's added 200 square feet, we can increase that number, and that can help to offset revenue that, you know, we should be collecting. These numbers have not changed in forever.
Right. I understand exactly what you said. My first initial is I would rather leave it as it is and address it in its totalitarian parts as one.
So, as opposed to adding the square footage for the equestrian center?
Or going to the airport, because, again, we don't have a criteria that we're necessarily working off of. So,
other than the code says by square foot, this type of business pays this much money,
right.
That sort of thing.
If we are, as a district, addressing it, then I would rather not just go all of a sudden and do it, because we haven't done it forever. Establish what the process is, and then here we go. Because I'd rather go back to them and say, we know that, and I'll pick on the horsey place, we know the restaurant opened at this date, you added this square footage, we didn't bill you for this time period, here's the rate structure, here's the money that was saved, because we were in process. I'd rather have that conversation than us just go, hey, we decided, because we're talking about it, your name came up, and move forward. I'd rather stay uniformed. It's on the table. It's what we're working on. Here are the dates, and we move forward. But that's just me. So however you feel.
Think through too, and I don't know where to go with this particularly, but if there are tasks that we perform that would be better suited to be allocated by, I'm talking about, for lack of a better word, the burglar alarm deal. Mm-hmm. Okay, well. You know, or a response to some other type of incident that is more occurring in a place like would never occur at the country club, but might occur all the time at the village store, or might occur in the new supermarket. If there are responses we make that we could better serve and take some of the pressure off some of these other entities that don't get involved in those kind of labor-intensive activities, then maybe there's a way to offset.
And that's not far off of what I think you were recommending before.
Like
special fee additional
right.
to the two.
Right, but I don't know what those fees would be or what those incidents would be.
And we have to see
you guys
through legal,
Jeff would know more than
legal where we have that where we're. We have that permission to do that outside of the 218.
Right. Incidents. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, beat that to death.
But does that address what your concerns are, Mike?
Well, I think you guys are going down the right path. You know, the basket you, it just seems unfair of some of the fees.
You know life is unfair, right?
I absolutely.
Okay, just check. Okay.
But when you
how could he say that where he works?
I know. Yeah.
When you look at the, you know, when you talk about the science when you start trying to figure out the science of how the rates have got, how the rates got established, and it looks like things have changed over the years.
I don't disagree.
I'm listening to a conversation, and I look at Burger King. Well, that building wasn't that big. They added a whole big section of square footage on it. So you got me. My building hasn't changed at all. You're charging me this rate. You keep on increasing my rate for my building, but other people are adding building, and they get a free pass. So I'm not quite sure I'm on the same page of not assessing different square foot. That's one way to measure. If I use more water, you're going to charge me more water as soon as I start using more water.
Right, right.
I think coming up with the science is something different. The question center, and knowing that I disagree with Marco, but Country Club is closed Sundays and Mondays. We have nobody in the building, but we still pay our rate for square footage. You know, that kind of stuff there. And if there's one horse, there's 800. Out of the 40 events that they have a year, they probably have 25 of them that they have 800 or more participants. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of stuff. So I think when you get into, is the hotel got 83 rooms booked or 20 rooms booked? I'm not sure I would agree with that. I think a flat rate, I think you're on the right stuff. But I think you start going down that place. And I agree that the highway property is the highway property. How I see it is how the original tax started in 1980. It was based on gate operations. It was strictly north at the time. South didn't come into play until the 90s. It was patrol time. They bounced all off. Things have changed. You guys have changed.
You know, if you set a flat rate, then what you recognize that circumstances are going to change. And you allow for that.
Right.
And it's just, you know, you don't have to rebalance those fees every year.
Right, and that's what I'm saying.
We look at the same methodology to everybody, right. And some win, some lose.
I'm not going to pick on the village.
I'm a fan of that.
I'm not, but if you take the 40, the 53 and the 47%, if they don't have gate operation, if their patrol time is 1 hour a day, that rate should be the same as 1 hour for whatever other thing you're doing 1 hour too. You know, that kind of stuff there. It should not be greater or less. You know, that kind of stuff there. So
little caution on that is that the expectation of security to always be available to respond, you know.
So, that's
why the methodology of just how many calls were made, it's the same to a city's police force. I pay for them not for how many times they show up at my house, but how often they're there to protect me.
It's even quoted in the 218 tax. It's even quoted in the 218 tax to the voters. That statement is in there. Because you're going to take resources, you're going to fix a problem. I get this. But we're talking about a flat rate. Yeah. The flat rate doesn't make any... Why is the rates different? Because you're 20 feet over here. It's either square footage or water usage or whatever, that kind of stuff there. And if you're spending more time in a shopping center, which we all anticipated he's going to, and his staff is going to, then, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that's the rate that I would, you know, I would increase. You know, you got some science to say, hey, we're over here all day long.
Yeah, the 218 does require that it has to be a nexus to the parcel that you're providing the service to, but we can generalize that nexus a little bit more, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm. But it can't be every single day the same thing. You know, you can justify, I've got a fire over here, I got a need over here, but when it becomes a pattern, where this is the norm now, the new norm, and you're only getting this amount of service, you're paying for this,
correct.
There's an argument in government that you can actually challenge that. So.
And
I think just, you guys are on the right path.
Yeah, but just back to the through all of this, I just want to make real sure that after we get all this together, that everybody at least gets a shot. Bring them all in, take your best shot. Like I said, not everybody's going to be happy, but everybody needs a shot, you know. And some of those arguments that Mike makes, they all, I'm sure, have their own set arguments. The guy at the airport,
church.
I'm sure, has got his.
Yeah, the church.
I
get that.
They answer to a high.
Well, and again, I think we determine what our definitions are and what our criteria is and what it's based on. And because, again, yeah. So,
okay.
All right.
Okay. Budget schedule.
The budget schedule hasn't changed. We did add
down off the top of my head, it's like the 26th or something
as a potential.
Yeah. So we can go through the budget with detail again if you
want. Yeah, if we need to. I'll get that out to the board, what that date is. I think it was like...
You know, the next thing on the agenda is the 18th, where Cindy and I are going to come up with a draft budget that we're going to take and post as our Prop 218, and then if need be, March 26th, or... March, what's the
25th, I think, and I have it at 10 o'clock. Okay. That's just a space hold, but I thought it was the 25th that we talked about.
And we said we're going to mail the Prop 218 notices on the 25th. We'll mail them. It can be a couple days after that, but it has to be 45 days before the 8th.
Yeah, that's joint security.
March 25th at 10 a.m. is joint security committee.
I think I asked staff if the Thursday the 26th would work. I can go and look at my email.
Yeah, it's fine. We have 45 days that the Prop 218 notice has to be on the street before the April 17th meeting, so you can count backwards from there. Okay. That's the last date we can mail it. So that's the budget schedule.
April 17th?
May 20th.
April 17th is... May 20th is our budget presentation, the first reading. So you count backward 45 days from May 20th.
Okay, and that's where we have to mail our notice.
That's where we have to mail the notice. Right. So the notices can probably go out as late as like March 30th or something.
Okay.
It is what it is, whatever that date is.
Right.
45 days.
Okay. All right, utility billing update.
So, you know, we've made a transition to the new bill format. We only heard like one person say they didn't like the new format. They wanted the old one back. And you know, we ran into a glitch with emailing.
Increased that to 2.
So we're still 50%.
Yeah, you are.
I'm okay.
I'm not really. It's fine. It'll work for a while.
So the transition has gone pretty well. We ran into a glitch with the emailing of the bills this time. It's somewhat complex, but apparently about half of our e-bills didn't go out on Thursday. Nothing we can do other than know about it quicker. We found out yesterday, we're acting on it today, and then we're just going to resend the bills and say, hey, if you didn't get it last week, here it is. There was a problem with the IP service. It's basically the internet service providers like Google, SBC Global, you know, back in the day, Earthlink. So we're working on that, and the next improvement we're going to see is for people with multiple bills, we're going to send them a stack of bills instead of 20 different envelopes, and the stack of bills will have a summary sheet on it, and then we're encouraging more people to go to the EFT process where your bill gets paid, drawn down on the 15th of every month, and we're also advertising how many people are getting their e-bill versus, well, not getting it, but... If you sign up for e-bill, we don't have to mail you a bill. It saves about 70 cents.
Right.
So we added 12 new customers to e-bill last month. We'll probably lose
You probably lose about 100 now that you didn't deliver their bill.
So that's what's going on there.
Is there any way, I mean, would we get arrested if we offer some kind of incentive, ultimately, to both e-bill and EFT? If we're saving a good buck a pop, is there anything legally that says we can't offer an incentive? Is that a theft of public funds?
I don't know, but we offer incentive to people if they do this. They get a $2 rebate or discount on their trash bill if they have something. I think if they do, yeah. If they have,
does that come from us or the garbage company?
I don't know. I'd have to look at it.
Typically, you can reduce the size of your can and get a cheaper rate, but I don't know beyond that.
I think there's a recycle credit of $2 for a lot of customers.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, in reality, it's more than a buck because staff time's involved.
Yeah.
So, make it $1.50. Pick whatever that number is. But I think at some point we are going to get just... whether time-sensitive issue for some of the folks. But
in the past, when this has been introduced, because as we were adding in credit card services, for instance,
and
the agency had to absorb a significant credit charge, like 3.5%, 4%, it then penalized, essentially, if we didn't charge for that additional cost, then, you know, I know this is the flip of the argument,
right.
But then those that paid by check were
right.
subsidizing essentially
correct.
Those that were...
Right, but you'll get a credit. For, so you can
this
get
is an, like the reverse of that.
Yeah, so. You can get an ACH credit for a direct bank debit. Okay, and that only discriminates against people who don't have a bank account.
Right.
I mean that's not our problem. The credit card, I understand. If you're going to pay by credit card, even the county, if you paid your property tax by credit card, they hit you for the fee.
We have fees on the ACH too, don't we?
Right. You pay the vendor, so
right.
you go to Paymentus to
so
pay your credit card bill. You add $450 for every $300 you charge.
What about a debit card?
The debit cards, you know, the EFTs come directly out of checking accounts. So there's
right.
no fee for that.
There's no fee.
There's no fee.
That's what I'm saying. So you're incentivizing that. You,
right.
I mean, you can conceivably somebody could get an e-bill credit,
mm-hmm.
but not get the credit the ACH credit.
Right.
But if you get and you could have, but the ideal is to get both because you can. If we can give them, you know, I'm making the number up. If we give them $20 a year. You know,
right.
you'll get people to bite on that.
What happens if we do one free lock off?
Yeah,
just as a thought.
Each year.
Well, I wasn't going to go each year. I was just going to go one time.
Each month.
Yeah. So yeah. And again, I think it's back to us to define some of those things.
That's probably a team address somewhere somehow.
But yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's got to be other if it's available. I don't know what the incentives like for SMUD or PG&E would be, that they would be under the same rules we are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there are incentives. I don't know whether they're monetary or not, but
we could chat.
We could see.
Yes, PG&E is a private entity. SMUD's a...
utility district.
Yeah, there
is it a utility?
Municipal
yeah.
utility
yeah,
district.
So we'd be subject to whatever they
right.
Not necessarily PG&E. They're
different.
So somebody over there could probably just call them up and
yeah.
tell them.
Yeah. Yeah. Cindy and I are going to be at a meeting tomorrow. We'll probably run into people.
We can hold their $25,000 payments. You know, just ask a question.
Linda has a question.
Pipeline. I like it. Pipeline in my bill. And I'm wondering if the pipeline is going to go out to the email address.
I post it on the website under news. So.
But we should.
You want us to add the pipeline to the e-bill as an attachment?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But
that's a good idea.
It would be too hard.
That's the way you get. That's
get
the way
like
you
ice
get
cream
the.
Cone or something.
Well, there's your
yeah.
incentive.
No ice cream, just the cone. Yeah,
the
I can't afford the ice cream.
Wow, that's. I can hardly wait for that one. The, but the in SMUD does do that. If you do the automatic billing with SMUD, you get the SMUD monthly blurb.
Right. And again, there's the option if you don't want it. Check the box and
right.
unsubscribe, but I think putting it all in one email would be best.
And, you know, I don't, that's a huge cost, just to be sending that thing out.
Well, we're not sending it to anybody who gets their email.
Okay, so you're, but then they're not
statement.
Getting it because I'm not going into the website to pull it down.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a good idea.
Yes, you are.
Set it on
that's a good
to
idea.
That email,
well, after today, will we?
We have to check. It's complicated because basically when you send out 400 emails with attachments, it goes to a company that then processes them for you.
Right.
And so they might say, well, that's two documents, so it's going to cost you more.
Right. It is also how we bundle the bill. Is it just a five-page bill now instead of a one-page? That's what I understand.
And they even though I would shop that one too because they can't be the only service around that's... You know, I'm not saying change tomorrow, but somebody's going to say yes to get your business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is it. Comments, staff? Man, this was easy one for you, dude.
Yeah.
I would like to say that Tanya Perez is promoted to the accounting supervisor.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, terrific.
So that's good for finance.
She did very well in the interview, and
I would expect.
She's been here 5.5, 6 years. She's worked really hard. She earned it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did have an individual from another, from a city, come sit on the selection committee as part of it.
Yeah, just an outside.
So we're very happy. And so now, but now that means we're recruiting.
The vacancy, the vacancy train can take.
We'll get there. We're getting there.
Okay. Come to our traffic meeting, March 10th. We got the whole world coming.
Where?
Where over at the school, the multi-purpose room. No,
elementary school.
Okay, the elementary school. Yeah. Mm-hmm. March 10th.
That's the Jackson Road.
What time is it?
7 p.m.?
You see that?
Yeah, you'll get one at the meeting if you show up. 27 traffic lights.
This is going against my business plan to start flying people from Rancho Murrieta to Executive Airport to get around the traffic. So I'm not sure I'm
not
flying to Maine. Or then you can hop over.
$75 to land your plane. 75 hours.
Is that how much of this
is easy commute?
Meeting's closed. We're done.
Here?